witchcraft in America. I suppose some of you folks at least have recognized the fact that the United States of America, these people, these good Anglo-Saxon people, are beginning to practice things that were known in the Dark Ages as witchcraft. So first of all, turn over with me to the book of Galatians. Before we start talking about the witches, in Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 19, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest." And we're going to read these, and you think with me, this is quite a familiar verse, actually, to many Christian people. "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these," and then he lists them, "adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like." Now, I made quite a list there, and you'll notice that one of them is witchcraft. But as you read that, you recognize that he has three separate sections there, actually in the separate verses. Verse 19, almost everything that's mentioned in there has something to do with sexual crime or perversion. Verse 20, most of that has to do with idol worship or worshiping of other gods. And then verse 21 are things that people do personally to each other, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and so on. But you'll notice that they all are works of the flesh. They all come from the same source. They are not of God. They are of the flesh. And I want to read a few things about witchcraft this morning, and I think as Christian people we're going to have to recognize these things, because we're going to see, I believe, a tremendous division among our people, as God is going to cut a line right down through the middle, and there are going to be people on one side and people on the other. And I think we have to understand and begin to get a discernment as to who is on the other side. Sometimes we think these people are on our side and we're mistaken. But anyway, someone gave me a copy of the March 1970 McCall's magazine, and it's apparently a special issue on witchcraft, or about what it calls the occult explosion, Satan worship, seances, astrology, magic, and so on. And I want to read a little bit from one of the articles, "The Age of Occult." And I won't read all of this, but I want to read you some things. They may have stretched the actual truth a little bit in here, but you just listen as I read some of this. "No area of the occult is apparently too esoteric for the Aquarian Age. After a 40-year period of sluggish sales, more than 2 million Ouija boards were sold last year." Now, this just gives you an idea of one little thing that gives an example of what's happening. "And the dignified New York Times even interviewed a witch, Sybil Leek, described by that paper as perhaps the world's best-known witch, told its reporter that more than 400 witch covens are practicing in America today. A number of high schools, as well as the University of South Carolina, New York University, and the University of Alabama, have offered courses in witchcraft, and each time the classes have been over-enrolled. At New York University, for instance, so many students signed up for witchcraft, magic, and sorcery that classes had to be moved to one of the school's largest lecture halls." A little further on in the article, "The current metaphysical mood is in fact such that even the nation's radicals added exorcism and levitation to their political activities. Within the past 2 years, anti-war demonstrators staged an attempted levitation of the Pentagon, while new left groups have tried to exorcise everything from the Department of Justice to assorted local churches. In 350 department stores from coast to coast, an estimated 30,000 customers a month receive personalized horoscope psycho-astrological portraits by IBM 360-25 computer. Programmed with 25 million pieces of information, the computer turns up 15 to 20 pages per client about his character, health, and romantic potential for between $20 and $50 a year. The horoscope that proves possible that currently the computer horoscope firm are competing for the business. There are a 24-hour-a-day electronic telephone service, a company that could provide computer horoscopes, and Astroflash Incorporated, which processes about 500 horoscopes a day in its booth in New York's Grand Central Station, and planning to open other branches. In other words, you'll be able to go into the bus station, the train station, and the plane station pretty soon, and they'll be right there where you can see coins and get your perfect the stars and suns and on. Our perfect have doubled in 50 years, and 1,200 of the nation's 1,750 daily newspapers now carry astrology columns. This ad, especially in the Underground Rock and Six Press, are filled with notices of zodiac parties for Sagittarians, transcendental meditation classes to triple one's consciousness, and clairvoyance workshops, and so on and so on. And of course, the article goes on as page after page showing these things. The next article is on Madame Blavatsky. Some of you know about her. Love Among the Rattlesnakes. This is about the people who were involved in the Tate murders. She answers in Suburbia, which includes the story of Bishop Price. Here's another one on the tarot cards, which are being used all over the United States. Here's another one on the Church of Satan. This one out in Los Angeles, I believe. And they actually have worshippers who come in here. And then more articles, page after page, on astrology and so on. In our own daily newspaper, within the last month, and I don't know that I have this here in front of me. Yes, I do. Some of you might want to do something about this, even if you're writing a letter. They have now started two new comics. How many of you have seen this? There are two new comics in the newspaper. The first one is called The Colonials, and it is absolutely and totally anti-Christian and shows the colonial people as sex perverts, and it shows them dealing with witches. And they persecute the witches, except when the witches do something good for them. Now, some of you may want to look at this one today. The idea behind it is practically pornographic, but it's about the colonials. And the next one below it, which is a new one, has real nice-looking people in business offices where people come to them for help, and they give them their readings on their astrology charts and so on, and then help them. In other words, the two opposite things. The Christian colonials are terrible people. The people who give astrology, they're nice people, and they're right together in the upper left-hand corner of the comic page of our newspaper now. All right, turn over to Matthew 10. Before we go any further with this, I want to show you what this is, and also give you the idea from the Scripture that we will not be subject to this, and in fact, we will have power over these people, because I believe that these people are going to get in places of power where they already are, and we may have things happen that will frighten us, and it should not. In Matthew 10, tells of Christ giving his instructions to the disciples. And when he called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. So we know that Christ gave the disciples power over unclean spirits. Now, sometimes this is so misunderstood that people assume that, well, if a minister is really a disciple, he will be able to take a person who is like some of these people we've just read about and cast out the devil that's in him, or cast out the unclean spirit. And we saw this happen in many cases in the Old Scripture. But turn with me to Matthew 8 and verse 16. Now I want to show you how these devils and these unclean spirits are cast out. This is Christ, some of his miracles. Matthew 8, verse 16. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word. With his word. And you'll find this throughout the Scripture. And healed all that were sick. And Jesus Christ did this, how? With his word. Now you'll turn back to one of the prophets, Jeremiah. Jeremiah 23. I'll show you the solution for devil worship and unclean spirits and Satanism. And at the same time, I'll show you why we have such leaps, talking about the passage in the preachers, Jeremiah 23. I'll read verse 21 and 22. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. He's talking about the preachers that preach the wrong things. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. In other words, God spoke through Jeremiah about the Israel people in old Canaan land as they were going into the Babylonian captivity, and he said, if the preachers had caused the people to hear my words, the people would have turned from their evil ways. Now, you wonder why It appears that tens of thousands, and I wouldn't be surprised if it runs in hundreds of thousands, of people in America, people that you and I know are the descendants of the people Jeremiah was speaking about, why they have turned to this occult, why they have turned to getting their future prophesied from stars, and why they have turned to this? Well, it's because they have not heard the word. And I believe that, generally speaking, God's lesson about casting out the devils and getting rid of the unclean spirits takes place in a people by the preaching of the word over a period of years rather than instantaneous. In other words, you protect your young people, and you protect your families, and you protect the nation from this ever coming in by the preaching of the word, and it keeps out the unclean spirit. And I don't know that we're going to go out, or I'm going to go out, or you or any preacher going to go out to one of these devil meetings and say, all right, I adjure you, devil, come out of these people, cast them out. No, the word has to be put in those people first, and they are completely devoid of the word or have refused to hear it. Therefore, God gives them all of these devilish things. Now, I see I have another paragraph marked in this McCall's magazine that is rather significant, which I should read. In this same article, it says, the interest today is so widespread that it is difficult, if not impossible, to trace any single line of derivation. In other words, where did it come from? Certainly the interest in concepts of self-realization, such as Scientology and the nonverbal sensitivity groups, have helped. The fascination of many Americans with unidentified flying objects led some of them to the world of psychic phenomena. Now, this is interesting to me especially because I had a lady call me sometime here about a year and a half ago, and in the phone conversation, she told me that there were several women she was associated with were interested in helping me on the radio, you know, giving contributions to the radio or doing things. And so something came up a little later in which I could have used their help, and I asked about it, and you know what happened? I suppose this was a lesson I should have learned earlier. They couldn't come that day because there was a meeting by a fellow who had contacted some of these people from Flying Saucers, and they were going down there, and I think they paid $10 apiece for the dinner in order to listen to him. Now, wasn't that interesting? They had said through the other lady that they wanted to help Pastor Emery. But when Pastor Emery actually said, okay, today I can use the help, they couldn't come because there was a meeting on Flying Saucers. And here this man says that this thing on Flying Saucers helped lead some people into the occult. I've never heard from those women since then. I don't know that they've ever written to me or ever contributed any money or anything. Well, anyway, certainly the whole metaphysical mixed bag of Eastern thought. See, Eastern thought. What does the Bible say about Ephraim? Been contaminated by the east wind and these things from the east. Eastern thought, so popular just a few years ago, helped create a climate for an interest in the occult. Yoga exercises, Zen mysteries, macrobiotic diets, and spiritual fasts, even karate, launched many a middle-class mystic. In addition, mind-altering hallucinogens like LSD turned many of the country's young men and women toward a mystical form of dropout primitivism. And then he goes on and mentions many of the other things. Now, all of these things in themselves are not necessarily bad, but the people who use them are using them to lead people on into what? Worship of other gods through the occult and the changing of the worship. All right, turn with me over to Isaiah 5. You know, as we see these things coming to pass, I think we'll recognize that our prophets, God's Israel prophets, also foresaw many of these things that would happen to our people. Isaiah 5, we'll start in verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Now, this is in effect of what these people are doing. These two new comics in this book, one is portraying our Christian colonial people, and they haven't dressed in colonial clothes, so you'll be sure and recognize them. They are portraying them as evil people. And this comic portrays fortune tellers, they predict, they show them as good people. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight, or prudent in their own intelligence, will not accept anything outside of their own intelligence. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to drink strong wine. Remember back there in Galatians we read that drunkenness was part of this same thing. Alcohol probably has destroyed more homes than any other single thing in the United States of America. Some of the automobile safety experts estimate that 75% of the fatal accidents, in other words, where someone is killed on the highways of America, involve one or both drivers who have been drinking alcohol. And Paul, in that letter, mentioned drunkenness right along with witchcraft. These things all come under the same heading, and here we see Isaiah talks about them in the same way, too. Which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. And this is what they do. No matter how evil it is, they justify it. Our newspaper not too awful long ago had almost an entire page article about this young girl that some of you remember reading about. She evidently blew up in this home in New York that was a bomb factory for the revolutionists. And she disappeared in there, and I guess she was killed there. And they wrote a long article, one of the reporters from our local paper, telling about that girl, how she came from this middle class, rather wealthy family, and turned into a revolutionist. And as you read it, you realize the man was building her up as a great heroine, even as he told how she and all the rest of the people she was involved with engaged in the use of LSD and every ungodly thing that you could think of, but he wrote it in such a way that you actually began to feel sorry for her, and he made a heroine out of her. And yet the things that she did were probably as filthy as anybody could ever do, including actual manufacture of bombs to go out and throw in buildings and kill other people. So she was involved in Zen Buddhism, in the picking of LSD, in drunkenness, immorality, and every other thing that Paul said is what? The works of the flesh, but the newspaper glorified her. And this is what they do. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as the dust. The things that these people create, and even their own children, their blossom, their root, their blossom shall go up as the dust. And here's the reason. Because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. You see, brother, sister, there's only going to be, I believe, by the time the Lord God Almighty has prepared this nation for its cleansing, I sincerely believe there are going to be two kinds of people alive in this nation. And there is not going to be what you call neutralists. They're either going to be on the side of the devil and Satan, or they're going to be on the side of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't think that America has yet arrived at the point where you and I can discern the difference. There are so many places, even in the churches, where it appears that they're good and righteous people, and we're not sure. We're not certain. But you know, I think there's coming a day when the division is going to be so complete that whoever is assigned, now in the story of the tares and the wheat, you know, God sends forth his angels. And the Greek word in there means messengers, and it doesn't necessarily mean heavenly beings. Many of the kingdom people are rather convinced that God will use men, many men who will be living on the earth at that time, that he will raise up, just as he raised up the kings of old, to destroy the people who are to be destroyed. And they may be, but they're going to have to be separated in such a way that you can tell the tares from the wheat. Well, we know from the parable of the tares and the wheat that the tares have to raise up their head so they can be recognized. And this is what's happening. But at the same time, we who claim we are sown by the Son of Man and that we are the wheat and the tares, just realize that the only thing that we can use is to recognize the difference of the word of God. That's the word, and we can tell it along there on by the word of God. The only way to know it. We're not going to be able to tell who are we are, who are Christ, or who the believers are, by the use of the name of Jesus Christ. Because this is literally becoming a universal word, and this is why Christ said, I believe, in Matthew 24, that many would come in his name saying, I am Christ, and deceive many. I think some of the greatest deceivers are those who use the name of Jesus Christ, but you and I will have to look at it and understand the deception on the basis of what? He said here, the law of the Lord of hosts and the word of the Holy One of Israel. Now, someone gave me a copy of an advertisement here for an art display, which I thought was interesting enough to mention right at the present time. Some of you might recognize the significance of this. One of the local banks is having an art display of portraits in one of its branches. So they printed up this little flyer, which is just a photograph on the front of the lady artist, and then there are five men portrayed here. And then the article is about those five men. And I'm going to read this, and we just think about this in relation to what we call idol worship and witchcraft and the signs of the zodiac and all of these terrible things that are coming upon the earth. Knowing what you know of the word. Here are the five men. These five world figures were chosen not only as symbolic of different races and creeds, but they have all had a profound effect upon the social and political thinking of the 20th century. And here they are. Pope Paul VI. In other words, one of the heads of the Roman Catholic Church. Here's the next one. Mahatma Gandhi. Some of you recognize him, that he was the great spiritual deceiver of Asia, of the Indian people. He was the great deceiver, the so-called pacifist, glorified throughout all the earth. Theodore Herzl. He's known as the father of Israel. He's the man who promoted the idea that the Jews should have the homeland in Palestine for the building of the great nation over there. Billy Graham. It says his spiritual, moral, and ethical standards are being felt throughout the world. And the fifth one, Martin Luther King. So if you want to talk about the last two or list them in order, who are they? Pope Paul, the head of the great Antichrist Roman Catholic Church. Mahatma Gandhi, who was the deceiver of the dark-skinned Asiatics. Theodore Herzl, who is the leader of the Antichrist Judaism, which is setting up the state of Israel. Billy Graham, whom I believe is one of the greatest deceivers of the Christian Israel people. And Martin Luther King, who is the great deceiver of the colored people here in America. In other words, every one of them has his place in what she talks about here, and here's what it is. This is quoting her. I could never understand religious intolerance toward people of any faith. She said, I could never understand religious intolerance toward people of any faith. Now, God Almighty told Israel to do what about other religions than his own? Destroy them, tear them down, tear down their idols, grind them to dust, and put to death all of the priests of other religions. This lady who has chosen these five men to represent something here says she can't understand that. For to seek spiritual expression according to one's own light is a God-given right. Did you see what I said in here in Isaiah read, quoted God as saying in chapter 5, verse 21, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. And she says, anyone who seeks religion in his own light, that's a God-given right. Just as many lovely flowers blend together without losing color or identity to make a beautiful garden, so I see all people as a part of a universal garden. And this I ask, and then she's got a little poem here. O universal garden, what encompass thou? What characteristics dost thou possess? Beauteous expression dost thou unfold, all life to feel, to behold. Matter it where the rose grows, or from whence a seed blows. Harmony of hues, a perfect blend, is this not how the Master planned? And these Antichrist people, as some of you know, they call their God the Master. The Master, and they are not referring to the God of Israel when they say it. And here this lady has chosen, and the bank has decided to display her work of the portrait of those five men who represent, in her way of thinking, five men at the epitome of the world's religion. Now, brother, sister, anyone who thinks as she does would never pick a true Son of God to represent the Christian religion. And I don't think she did. All right, let's go back to Isaiah 5. Verse 24, therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go as dust, because they cast away the law of the Lord of hosts, and defied the words of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore is the anger of the Lord kindled against his people, and he hath stretched forth his hands against them, and hath smitten them, and the hills did tremble, and their carcasses were torn in the midst of the streets. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. And I believe that the United States of America is going to suffer the same thing that God said to Isaiah, that old Israel would suffer God's hand of judgment on them because we turned away from the law of the Lord of hosts and the word of the Holy One of Israel. All right, turn over to Isaiah 8. And reading in verse 19. Talking about these kind of people again, these wizards and witches. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living through the dead? And here's how you seek God. He says, when they come to you and say you should get involved with all of these things, and you know, I'm afraid that even some of our good Christian people, not understanding this idea of wizards and witches and familiar spirits, are going to use such things as the Ouija board and all of this, thinking, well, this is just a fun thing. No, brother, sister, this is a very deadly, serious thing. If you do anything where you try to find out something about the future or yourself from anything other than in line with the Word of God. And God says, should you do that? He asked this question. Should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? And here's what you seek to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. You see, again, the only way we can tell whether this thing is right or wrong is how does it compare to the word. If they're not speaking according to the word, according to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And Revelation 19:10 is a good one for all of us to understand and read. I've read this quite a number of times, and I think there's great significance in this one verse. As John fell down to worship the angel, he was so impressed by the visions that the angel had shown him that John made the mistake, was going to fall down and worship the angel. So you just take this to heart. You be very careful about who you worship or what you worship. And verse 10 it says, and I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see, thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of the brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The spirit of prophecy. And you see, so often, Christian people, not knowing the word, begin to think that, well, these prophecies that are coming from these other sources, like Gene Dixon and the rest of these, well, these are coming from the Lord. God is giving them vision. No, that isn't what this angel says. You be very careful. I have the testimony of Jesus, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Well, where in the world do you and I find prophecy or God's prophecy? We find it in the book of the Bible, in the prophets. And this Isaiah back here said, if it isn't according to the law and to the testimony, and we realize the testimony is what? Prophecy. If it isn't according to that, it's because there's no light in them. And I believe as this time goes by, we're going to find that we're going to have to depend more and more and more on the word of the Lord in order to decide whether anything is right or wrong. Because some of this is going to be presented to us in such attractive packages that it may fool us, and especially it may fool our children. And we'll have to watch this very carefully, especially since they're now coming out in the comic pages of the newspapers. All right, let's go to the law for a few moments here. Turn over to Exodus 20. And we'll just use a little of this because I'll show you what the law says and what law we violated that's now brought all of this on us. Exodus 20, verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. That pretty well eliminates using anything regarding the sun, the stars, the moon, and all these other things to do any worship or religious activity by, doesn't it? Thou shalt not bow thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. I know many people say, well, I don't like this idea of God punishing the children for the iniquity of the fathers. But you can see, if the fathers go out and bring these ungodly things in and worship other gods, what happens? The children follow. It isn't necessarily the hand of God coming down upon the children. It's the natural consequence of the father's rebellion. And parents go out and get these things and bring them into their homes. Well, what happens? Their children are going to be destroyed because of the father's iniquity. And these things have to be kept out. This is one of the commandments of the Lord. And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Now, let's read a few more. He enlarges upon this. Leviticus 19. Later I want to show you what we're supposed to do when these are broken. Leviticus 19:31 says, regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. In Deuteronomy 18. And these are all enlargements, of course, upon the commandments, starting in verse 9. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you any that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. Well, brother, sister, Israel cannot be perfect if they even just dabble in these things. You've got to get rid of them absolutely and totally and completely. You can't have anything to do with them. And they're selling games with these things, as you know. And they'll be selling more that you can play on the dining room table. And they'll have all of these things. No, Israel, God's people who want to keep themselves clean before the Lord are going to have to eliminate all of these things completely from their minds. All right, now let's read what we should do, and I believe what will be done in the not-too-distant future about these things. Exodus 22 and verse 18. Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. Now that isn't very difficult to understand, is it? Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. You don't have to turn to all of these. Some of these I'll just read one verse. Leviticus 20 and verse 27. A man also or a woman that hath a familiar spirit, or that is a wizard, shall surely be put to death. Thou shalt stone them with stones, their blood shall be upon them. Have you wondered why the propagandists in America have made such a great thing out of the idea that some of our ancestors put a few witches to death on the East Coast in the colonial times? This has been beat into our mind for years that this is wrong because these witches, which now exist in America, recognize they had to condition us not to put them to death before they stuck their heads up where we could see them. We had to be told over and over and over that putting witches to death was wrong so that they could protect their own lives later when they began to practice their witchcraft. And brother, sister, I think that our colonists who put witches to death were doing nothing more than following God's law that you shall not suffer a witch to live. Deuteronomy 30. I'll read several verses in here, quite a few, starting in verse 1. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spoke unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. In other words, God Almighty allows some of these people to actually prophesy things which then come to pass, and he allows that to happen in order to prove you, to see whether you're going to stay with him or go start reading Jean Dixon's book and be surprised at what she has said. No, he lets some of these things come to pass. And then he goes on, ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet, or that dreamer of dreams, shall be put to death. Death penalty for these things, always. Because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. How do you put it away? You put them to death. I do not believe that the Lord God Almighty is going to have us going around and supposedly casting out the evil devils out of most of these people. They're going to be put to death, because this is the law of the Lord. It's so serious that in verse 6 we read, if thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is as thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers, namely, of the gods of the people which are round about thee, nigh unto thee, or far off from thee, from the one end of the earth even to the other end of the earth. It doesn't make any difference where this comes from, whether it's a local thing or comes all the way from India. Thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him, neither shalt thine eye pity him, neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him, but thou shalt surely kill him. Thine hand shall be first of all him to put him to death, and afterwards the hand of all the people. And thou shalt stone him with stones that he die, because he hath sought to thrust thee away from the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And here's what happens in the nation. And all Israel shall hear and fear, and shall do no more any such wickedness as this among you. I do not believe that we're going to get rid of witchcraft in America till the Lord God Almighty moves in such a way as to cause the nation to put these people to death by the thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands. Now, I want to close in two things. Turn over to Joshua. And I also want to read the newspaper, because I thought this was rather significant. This is in the Phoenix Gazette of yesterday, and big headline, top of the page, moral responsibility not all his, Nixon says. President of the United States, moral responsibility not all his, Nixon says. Washington, D.C., President Nixon, responding to a major conclusion of his commission on campus unrest, said today, many others share with him the responsibility for providing moral leadership to end divisions in American society. In a letter to William W. Scranton, chairman of the commission, Nixon said that in a nation as great and diverse as the United States, moral authority resides in broad areas of society. And Nixon says there are thousands upon thousands of individuals, clergy, teachers, public officials, scholars, writers, to whom segments of the nation look for moral, intellectual, and political leadership. Now that is known by the term passing the buck. That's what you understand as passing the buck. Here's the man who's been elected President of the United States to execute the laws of the land, and he says, well, no, I'm not the moral leader. There are many people who are the moral leaders of the nation. The President's lengthy letter was an answer to this report on the Commission on Campus Unrest, but I thought this sentence in the campus report was significant. Quote, only the President has the platform and prestige to urge all Americans at once to step back from the battle lines into which they are forming, the Commission report said. In other words, I don't agree with all that the Commission report said, but I do agree that they pointed to the President of the United States and said he's the one upon whom all these things rest. All right, turn to the book of Joshua. First chapter. Joshua was the leader of the Israel nation as they came into the promised land. If we believe the kingdom message, we know we're going to come into the promised land, the kingdom, some one of these days. And at least now, until Christ returns, our national leader is President Nixon. Joshua 1:1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, and the Lord spoke directly to Joshua, and here's what he said, among other things. Verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. He didn't say to this president of the nation, be strong and courageous in order to fight the enemy. Don't be strong and courageous because you're going to have to work 16 hours a day, 7 days a week. No. He said, be strong and courageous in order to do all the law that my servant Moses hath commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, and thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. And what do we read therein? Witches are to be put to death. These people that divine and all these other people are to be put to death. That's in the law, that this man who leads the nation is to lead and obey. For them shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and them shalt thou have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong, and be of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And I wanted to end up with that because I believe as kingdom people that part of our ministry must of necessity be on the same subject, to go to the rulers and the leaders in this land and tell them the Lord God Almighty has placed upon you the responsibility for executing judgment on the people when they turn from the law of the Lord. And this is a thing that our leaders do not know. Richard Nixon does not know that he is the man who is responsible for putting into effect God's laws, statutes, and judgments in America. It doesn't impinge upon anyone else. It comes upon the leader of the nation in Washington, D.C. And I remember the 21-year-old colored fellow that drove Pastor Rickard and I back to our hotel after we came back from Baltimore. And as we went by the United States Capitol, he pointed up to that place on the Capitol and he says, "You see that building up on the hill up there?" And we said, "Oh, yes." He says, "Well, if righteousness is going to come to America, it's going to have to come from that hill." And he pointed to, you know, the United States Capitol sits on a hill. Now, if a 21-year-old Negro has brains enough to understand that if righteousness is going to come from America, it's going to have to come from the United States Capitol, brother, sister, those of us who know the law, statutes, and judgments and the word of the kingdom must understand that we also have a responsibility as prophets of God, and that's what you all are. Under God's word, you're all priests of the Lord, to carry the word to the national leaders in this land that they are to begin to put God's laws, statutes, and judgments in effect, and that means someday in the not-too-distant future, putting to death all those people that I've been reading about this morning. And I won't take time to read it, but if you'll read the fifth chapter of Micah, you will see the prophecy of where God says he's going to clean Israel from all of these people who are wizards and witches. And I believe that until that time, we have a responsibility to our families, yes, to be sure the word of the Lord is preached so they will not suffer from these things, and then to carry it to the nation, that Israel will be cleansed from these things as we put God's laws, statutes, and judgments upon these people.